Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, a money conversation with a mom's touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. So today's episode is a mom on the go episode. And for those of you new to the Investor Mama Podcast, these are short 10-15 minute episodes. For busy moms who may not have time to listen to a full episode, you can still get some great content that's short, really, on how moms are doing it all, work-life balance, and what they're teaching their kids about money. And on today's episode, I have the pleasure of bringing back on Autumn Lax from Drucker Wealth. If you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's episode, definitely do so. Autumn gave so much great information on the different types of savings accounts for your kids, when they're appropriate, what the pros and cons are, and it was just such a great episode. I know a lot of you had been asking me for that type of content, and so I was happy to deliver it, and Autumn did a phenomenal job. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, definitely go back and check it out. And so without further ado, let's bring Autumn on. Autumn, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me back.
It's a pleasure. I know that you're a financial advisor and you have two younger kids. How do you balance it all?
That is the golden question. To be honest, I schedule everything. I'm a financial planner, but in my personal life, I love to plan as well. And if it does not go on my calendar, it does not happen. So I keep a master calendar with all of my, you know, work appointments and my personal appointments, my kids' activities. I schedule workouts, even if I don't always make them. I schedule them because it just keeps me, you know, motivated. And so I feel like prepping meals, you know, anything that I need to do to sort of help make life easier, I want to block out time and schedule it on my calendar. Otherwise, it's just not going to get done.
I love that. Well, how do you though separate from do you work from home a lot now? Or are you in the office more? Do you have an easy distinction or are you hybrid?
I work entirely from home now. So I really try to compartmentalize work hours from personal hours. I think that's important, you know, just in maintaining that the structure being in a remote environment. So I color code my calendar, you know, based on what's work related and personal. And yeah, then just try to, you know, do my best to juggle it all.
Do you have set hours that are just work or do you mix and match throughout the day?
For the most part, you know, I have a set kind of 9 to 5 hours, but I have the flexibility to, you know, work later in the evening. So if my kids have some sports activities or something going on with school where I have to break during the workday, I'm going to make up for that in the evening, which I love. I love having that flexibility. I might answer emails on the weekend, you know, whatever our clients need me, I'm accessible always. But that can be, you know, that can be kind of all encompassing. So I do try to set some general boundaries.
So what strategies do you use to actually be present with your kids? Because you also have a client model and sometimes clients need you 24/7. So how do you separate that?
Yeah, I've really been intentional about, you know, during the hours in the evening when I'm cooking dinner, you know, doing bath time, bedtime, whatever, that I'm not looking at my phone, not looking at my computer. I want to be focused on my kids. On the weekends, the same. During the day, you know, I really want to be there for them. So I try to, if I am going to do work on the weekends, that it's early in the morning before they get up or it's at night after they've gone to bed, so that I'm not interfering with the time that I try to devote to them.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's just easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is easier said than done. And, you know, I can sit here and talk about all these strategies that I do because it's all that we can do sometimes to just try to be our best. But yeah, the reality is, I mean, being a parent, being a working parent is a struggle. It's hard to juggle it all. And I am, you know, like a lot of you out there, just kind of spinning nonstop. Like from the moment I get up to the moment I go to bed, it's like chaos sometimes, but we can only do so much. So I've tried to also adopt that mental mindset of pick your battles, and I am only, you know, capable of so much, and I'm just going to try not to stress over the things that I can't do.
And how old are your kids?
6 and 13.
So you're a financial advisor. I have to ask this question. What have you started teaching your own kids about personal finance and money, and what has worked and what hasn't worked?
Yeah. So I teach my kids, I really love starting to have the conversation about money with my kids. And so for my daughter, who is the 6-year-old, I have found that having more of a tangible sort of relationship with money is motivating. So for her, I pay her for chores. She has a little chore chart that we created. You know, just getting kids involved at that age, I think, creates excitement. It gets them that buy-in. So we created a chore chart, and she gets a set amount of money for completing each of those chores. And then we have physical jars. One is a save and one is a spend. I also think just physically, you know, her seeing the money in there, receiving it for the chore that she did, seeing it grow in the jar, that's all very motivating at that age. So I've used that. It has been a little bit of a trial and error, just because when my son was younger, I struggled with, okay, do I give him an allowance? Do I pay for chores? You know, how do I kind of instill this idea that you also just are obligated as a part of this family to do certain things, and you may not always get, you know, you're not always going to get paid for every single thing.
Yeah.
So we really had to kind of fine tune that process. But now for my younger one, I think the chores and having a set list of items that here's what you're going to get paid for, and everything else, you know, you just kind of have to do because you're a person and you're part of the family. That works well for her. For my son, who's 13, he now has an allowance. And we transitioned to that model because I felt like it provided him a little bit more independence. And I set up a bank account for him now. So he no longer has the piggy bank or the jars. He has his own bank account. I monitor and manage it. And he has a checking and a savings. So his allowance goes in, it gets split between the two. And then if he wants extra money, he can do work around the house. So that's motivating. If there's something, I'm trying to transition this mindset that, you know, I'll pay for his necessity items, but if he wants extra stuff, that he has to start paying for those on his own now that he's older. So he can do yard work. He can help me, you know, put IKEA furniture together or like whatever I need help with around the house. I talked about him starting to mow the lawn, those kinds of things. Then he, you know, he's motivated to do that because he can earn extra money that he can spend.
Well, last week's episode, we talked a little bit about Roth IRAs and how you could start saving for retirement for your kids if they, and one of the items you had mentioned was household work. Did you already open up a Roth for your son? Like, are you starting to put some money into that or?
I haven't, but it is on my list to do.
I know, so it's everything.
I feel like this age, like 13, 14, a lot of businesses, you know, outside of the home won't hire someone until they're 14, but inside the home, you're not bound by those restrictions. But I also feel like just being old enough to sort of comprehend this idea of saving for retirement can kind of get lost on younger kids. So he's right at the age where we've just now started talking about retirement, compound interest, and the Roth IRA is something that we are going to set up before the year is over.
Awesome. Well, the last question I have for you today is, what do you struggle with most being a mom and then trying to optimize your own journey to financial independence?
Yeah, I think time is honestly the biggest struggle. As I know I've mentioned that already, but it really is. It's just, you know, there are those days when it just feels like a complete whirlwind and I'm just trying to keep up. And so the only way that really works for me is I put a plan in place for myself, a financial plan. I mapped out the goals that I wanted to achieve, my income trajectory, you know, how much I'm saving to different places. And I just try to stick to that as much as possible. So kind of like anything else, none of it's going to be perfect. Nothing is going to go exactly according to plan.
Yeah.
But if I don't at least have some sort of parameters or, you know, like bumpers on the side to keep me in the right lane, then I feel like it's easier to veer off. And just because being a mom is, you know, time is one of those things that we don't have a lot of, I feel like I don't want to waste a lot of mental energy trying to figure out where my money should be going. I just want to have it mapped out, kind of automated. I love the idea of automating savings, set it and forget it. And so that's what I do.
Amazing. Well, Autumn, thank you so much for coming back on today's episode. How can my listeners connect with you further?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love for you to check out our website, druckerwealth.com. You can reach out to me there and schedule a complimentary 15-minute phone call if you just want to learn a little bit more about what we do. And you can also reach me on Instagram, autumn_druckerwealth.
Awesome. Well, Autumn, thank you again. It's been fun.
Thanks so much, Jen. I appreciate it.
Alrighty, this wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Autumn. She's so much fun and she had some great tips on how she does it all and how she's teaching her own kids about money, which is pretty cool. So I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did like today's episode along with my other content, please leave a rating or write a review. It really helps the providers know you're finding value with my content. Also, feel free to share on social media. It would be super helpful as well. And if you or anyone you know would like to share your own money story or any other tips and advice that you've learned through your own financial independence or through your own money journey, let me know. I'd love to bring you on. I'm looking for some more guests, so that would also be really cool. I'd love to get to know you, meet you, and have you share your story. You can email me at Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. Again, it's Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. All right, this is Investor Mama. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.